Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report, hour number three. We have Vince Finelli here. He has a show here on Genesis Network called the USA Prepares. And we usually deal with kind of very, what I call, standard, will you survive kind of characteristic information. Next Wednesday, of course, we have back every second Wednesday, Jonathan Gray, and his book is Will You Survive? That's a big question. First off, do you want to survive? I guess should be the first question before, will you survive? And will you actually do the grunt work to actually figure out how to survive? Otherwise, and again, if you just do a little bit every day, it's likely you will. Now, you only have to survive literally 2 months. Most people don't realize by the end of 2 months, most of the people that are going to die are going to be dead. After a catastrophe like a power outage or a nuclear war or whatever, everybody after that, if you've got a means of survival to even, you know, harvest quail or rats or whatever you're going to eat, and have your own garden and basically share with other people, you're going to make it. You may not be making it looking great. You may not have had a bath in a couple of days, but you're going to live. And people need to realize it takes work. It takes step by step. So don't make it a mountain. It's one step at the top up the side of the hill. It's an easy grade if you decide to listen to the show and go to USA Prepares. We have two prepper companies now. We have, of course, Legacy Food and Ready Store that have amazing foods. My personal preference is the Legacy Foods. The emergency supplies over at Ready Store are amazing for medical supplies. And if you're not prepped up, including getting a ham radio operator certificate and getting it, even if you don't have a certificate, get the ham radio. If you don't have at least a scanner, if you're not aware and have your neighbors kind of prepped up with self-defense and food, you don't want to have to shoot your neighbors or relatives because they didn't listen to you. And that's a really ugly thing to tell people, but they need to hear it now, don't they?
Yes, so, the answer is absolutely.
Yeah, so let's get it. You were talking about the phone company when you were talking to Jason or Bordop. What do you want to talk about today, Vince? Because everything that you say is really important step by step. Will you survive is will you do the grunt work to survive? How's that?
Yeah, and this is just one of those little dots that we connect about how many things are being stolen from us, how much money is being stolen from us in how many different ways. And I'm not going to let the other team steal money from me that I need to use to provide for my family and to prepare. So that's today's lesson.
Well, you've got an MBA. You've got a Master's of Business Administration, lots of years of experience. So as a prepper, too, and you understand our government basically are illegitimate. They're basically an actors' guild trying to pretend that they're actually our friends. But in fact, governments of the world in the last century have killed more people than all the people in history. People have to understand that the government is their greatest enemy, isn't it?
Well, they certainly are not our friends, especially when you get audited. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. But I pulled up the phone bill, and we have a landline. I don't have a cell phone, but we have a landline. And the spotty service is provided by CenturyLink. And so I looked at at the last page, and it has details, a whole page, details of your taxes, fees, and surcharges. That's a small print, right? So this is just one landline in Missouri. And let me just, there are 13 fees, taxes and surcharges. 13 for one landline. So what are they? Well, there's the federal property tax recovery fee, the federal regulatory recovery fee, the federal universal service fund surcharge, the Missouri sales tax, Missouri universal service fund surcharge, and the county sales tax. Then there's the federal universal service fund surcharge. This is for additional taxes, additional Missouri tax, additional county tax. Then for the voice line, there's the federal property tax recovery fee, the federal regulatory recovery fee, the federal universal service fund surcharge, and the Missouri surcharge. You add all these fees, taxes up, and it's about 20% of our phone bill.
20%. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd that happen? I don't remember anybody asking me if it was okay, but it happened. So let's talk about gasoline tax. Now, oh, by the way, cell phone, same thing or higher. You might have as many as 21 or 22 different fees, surcharges, taxes, and assessments on your cell phone bill every month. Okay, so, that, you know, you're wondering, how did our phone bill get from $40, like they said, to 80-something? Now you know. Okay, so gasoline tax. The average gasoline tax in the United States is about 49 cents a gallon.
Wow.
That's state and federal. Yeah, built in. So you're already paying that at the pump. So whatever the pump says, you're paying that on average. So, you know, there are states with the highest gasoline tax, and there are states with a little lower. But let's talk about diesel. Diesel fuel, that's another tax that's hidden in the price that you pay for whatever you buy, because it's typically brought to you by a truck. 24.4 cents per gallon is the federal tax on diesel fuel. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because I'm a farmer, and I've encouraged people to start their own businesses. Well, if you happen to be a hobby farmer, that's a farmer. You buy a small place, and who determines whether it's a farm? You do. Okay? You've got a 2 acres, and you call it a farm, and you've got 1 acre that you're using for farming. You're a farmer, in my book. And I would defend that, you know, if I were audited by the IRS. I'd say, what are you kidding? It's a farm. As a matter of fact, we can talk about property taxes in a few minutes. But the reason I'm mentioning that if you can build a farm, buy a farm, make a farm, you will be entitled to all kinds of tax deductions that are not available to other passions. Okay? So if I want to buy a four-wheeler, we mentioned this before, it's a tax deduction. If I want to buy a motorcycle for riding around the farm, a dirt bike, you know, check the fields, the cows, it's a tax deduction. If I want to buy a Jeep to haul around my fence pipe and fence posts and fence wire and fence chargers and fence stretchers, tax deduction. And so I get to buy things that other people might call toys as tax deductions. So it's a kind of a neat thing to do. So I suggest you consider becoming a farmer. And you can be a and
everybody can be a farmer even if you have just half an acre, right?
To me, I think you can. I think you can. What you do is you raise some vegetables in your garden, and you try to sell them. You know, you try to be profitable. Now, the IRS just came out with a new concept, and that was that if you have a business, you need, according to the IRS, their new policy, you need to be profitable 3 out of 5 years. Well, that's kind of hard to do. You know, if you're a Kmart, it's impossible to do. If you're a Sears Roebuck and Company, it's impossible to do. So they are running not profitable businesses. And I would suspect that if the IRS says to me, hey, Vinny, you're not really very profitable, I'd say, and you're a hobby, so we're not going to allow these deductions. I'd say, okay, I agree with that. As long as you bring Sears and JCPenney and Kmart into the same mix, we're all in it together.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so that makes that's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And by the way, when I interact with government types, I make a couple assumptions. One, I assume they're generally lazy, and they don't want more work.
Yeah, exactly.
So interacting with me creates more work than for the average bear. So I have a lot of questions. There's so many things I don't understand that when I try to help them with whatever they want from me, they have to explain it like three different ways, so I get it. And once I get it, then maybe I can cooperate, you know, with what they want. Maybe I can't. But what I'm saying is, when they look at me, I think they try to, they say, geez, there's got to be lower hanging fruit than this guy. This guy is a pain in the neck. And what I'm saying, class, you can do the same thing. You can challenge them every way you can think of. That's what I do. We'll talk about lowering your property tax when we come back, right?
Absolutely. Back in just a moment with Vince Finale, USA Prepares. Stay tuned.
This is Dan.
And welcome back. And go ahead with Vince with the latest recommendations. Okay. Again, part of the problem is you're talking about financially prepping people by not overspending money that goes in taxes and other things.
Yeah.
Of course, please continue.
Okay. So I was looking around the Internet before the broadcast, and I noticed that in one area of California, the median square foot value on a house is $303. My neck of the woods is probably more like $100. So $100 to build a square foot of house. Well, the median price of homes in this area in California I was looking at was $539,000. And in California, you're taxed at about 1% of the valuation of the home. So that $539,000 house will be taxed every year at $5,390. I would suggest to those paying attention to us today that they challenge the real estate assessment. And once a year, you'll get the notice in the mail that here's the new and improved higher amount that you'll be paying. And you're required to pay in order to keep living on your property. Well, you have a window. Typically, it's at least a couple weeks, and you can challenge that. And so you call them up. You say, hi, my name is, and I'd like to set up an appointment. I would like to discuss my taxes, and I am going to challenge them. And I'd like you to set aside some time for me. I'll be bringing my notebook, my calculator, and I plan on spending a few hours with you. Because I'm a slow learner. It takes me a long time to understand some of these things. It's pretty complicated, but I know you want me to understand them. So, and I have to explain it to my family when I get home. So I'll be bringing my notebook, and please carve out at least a couple hours for me.
Right.
And then you show up and you ask them every question you can think of. Now, you don't think of these questions before you go. I'm sorry, when you're there. You think of them before, and you write them down in the notebook. And before that, you get on the Internet and you look at comparable homes. If your home is similar to others, you find the lowest five homes in your neck of the woods, and then you have that assessment with you. You look at that and you say, well, geez, theirs is lower than mine. How do you justify this? And make them prove every single line item, of which there may be 60 or 70, every one. And take your time, and they want you out of there. So you have all the time that that you need to make sure that all the answers are correct. And if you can save 25%, which is a pretty good chunk, and people have, they've saved 25% of their real estate taxes. And that could be, well, if you live in this particular area of California, it's $1,347 a year. 10 years, that's $13,475. What I'm saying is, how can you make that much money that easily in a couple of hours? The gift that keeps on giving, these savings that keep on giving. I looked up Colts Neck, New Jersey, pretty high tax area. What they do is the average home there is about $800,000. And they assess it at 50%. So they take an $800,000 home. They say, all right, we're going to assess it at 50% or $400,000. And then we're going to multiply that times 3.192% tax rate, which is about $10,000 a year. So if you can save 25% of that, you're looking at $2,500 a year or $25,000 in 10 years. Why not? For 2 hours? It's crazy not to do it, right? So some people would say, geez, it's kind of intimidating. Not to me. I just, there's so many things I don't understand. I'm in learning mode. I want to know more. I want to know why. I want to know what can I do to lower my taxes? What if? Those are the questions I ask. So, for example, in my particular circumstance, I challenged everything twice. I won the game twice. I lowered our tax rate, our assessment, I should say. And one of the items was our barn. I said, well, so how much did you value the barn at? And they gave me a number, and I said, wow. Huh. Didn't cost me anywhere near that much to build that barn. I used used materials. Did you take that into consideration? So I challenged them on everything you could possibly think of, and our taxes were lower. So that's just one simple thing that you can do to save money and put it toward preparing for the inevitable, whatever comes next. So just a couple thoughts there. And the reason I'm bringing this all up today is one of our listeners to your broadcast, Dr. Bill Deagle, is a guy named Dan from Texas. And so Dan called USA Prepares twice, once last week, once this week, and he had tax questions. And we talked about, he mentioned that he thought I recommended filing online. I said, no. And I'm not trying to beat Dan up. He just didn't understand what I was saying. No, I do not file online. I file paper copies, and I write in the margins. I write why I did what I did. So I imagine that when our return is looked at, whoever's looking at it might say, oh, man, there's a lot of notes on here. Can we audit somebody else? Seriously. And then I know that the IRS is really busy right now. This time of the year, they are really busy. They're busy waiting for us to send in our returns. So
yeah, this year, by the way, is going to be a bumper year for taxes. The government's collecting more taxes, but they're way overspending it. And I think that this omnibus bill, Trump needs to walk it back. Mm-hmm. And he needs to get the money to the military. But that's why Obama put an omnibus bill every year that he was in office. He never had a budget. The omnibus bill means the president can reallocate the money, whatever he wants to do, or he can walk it back and say, no, you're not getting $500 million to Planned on Parenthood to kill babies. No, you're not going to tell me I can only spend $1.6 billion on the wall. No, I'm not going to buy more agents or I can't use concrete in my wall. No, we're going to have a proper system of tracking people that could be dangerous, and we're going to rebuild mental health hospitals to people like Cruz that need to be in it and shouldn't have anything sharper than a straw. I mean, the president can redirect this cash with an omnibus bill, and he should do it. He should walk this money back and just do what he has to do. He's putting the National Guard down there. He can actually put in an executive order to actually get rid of the catch and release. You know, I put a sign up yesterday called Catch, Release, and Vote. You know, with these people coming up from Honduras, Trump just did a nasty call to Mexico and said, hey, we're going to walk back the NAFTA agreement. You're letting these people walk across your country to our border. You've got very good laws, but you're not enforcing them. Well, the same thing here. Americans are being taxed to death for illegals coming here. People don't realize if they are good contributors to society, we want to choose the best and brightest so they do contribute. They don't cost us increasingly balloon the deficit. Because if we don't have a deficit that's too large, we don't have a military, we don't have a country anymore, we don't have borders. The problem is that we're not even moving to protect our power grid from hackers or coronal mass ejection from the sun or an EMP from a rogue nation like North Korea. We're just, you know, we need to get real, don't we?
Absolutely. When we come back, I've got some statistics on How many of us prepare our own taxes? How many of us need help, whether it be program help or personal help? It's kind of staggering, these numbers.
We're back. Let's talk about that. I'm just going to put a few markers here. Firstly, the first thing you need to have is personal protection. Second thing you need is food, which is also, by the way, currency. Third is you need to actually have currency, which is carat bars, gold or carat cash, silver and gold coins, and barterable items, which are primarily food, material to protect you, to heat your home or whatever. And the fourth is you need to have a village of people, not just you and mom and pop out there in the middle of somewhere in a ranch. You need to have a village of people where things get really extended. And you have to prepare these communities to last literally for decades. You have to presume that when society collapses because of a coronal mass ejection or economic chaos or nuclear war, it ain't coming back. Now, it might come back partially, but you don't want to presume that, because unless other people are prepared in other villages or places outside the city, it's not going to come back, is it?
Not for our lifetime, that's for sure.
Well,
so
you're talking about, if they're survivors, they have to go subsistence to climb back up the ladder from the Stone Age, basically, is what we're talking about.
We have to build the machines that build the machines.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Talking about barter and when things get really bad. So I was at the Chinese factory outlet in the last few days, and I happened to be buying some paint. Walked past the sporting goods area, and I saw milk carton-sized containers of 22 long rifle ammunition, 550 rounds in a little box. Mm-hmm. So I said to the gal behind the counter, may I see a box of those 22s? I'd like to see what they look like. So she got the box and went to open it. I said, no, I just want to read the box. So she let me look at the box, and I said, okay.
You're funny.
May I buy six of them? May I buy six boxes? 550 rounds in each one. She said, no, you can only buy three. I said, okay, may I buy three? She said, sure. Asked me for my license. I'm still confused. And I said, wow, I didn't know you needed to drive a car in order to buy 22s. She said, no, we just need to see who you are. Okay. So we could use picture ID. So I'll get that. Well, she really wanted my license. That's okay, because they know. They have me on video. They've got facial recognition. They know I bought them. Now, what I'm saying is those boxes of 22s, 550 rounds in each box, I can use that as barter. Why 22s? Small cartridge, yeah. But that's probably the most popular cartridge in the United States. So it's a great barter item. So if the Chinese factory outlet near you has them for $27.99, you might want to pick up a few boxes. And then what do you do with them? You put them in a 30 caliber ammo can. And the ammo cans have these really tight gaskets, and they're made for carrying ammunition for the military. They're really, really rugged. So, you can get them for $3, $4, $5, $6 a piece at gun shows. I suggest you get maybe 30 of them. And put all kinds of things in them. We've got them, and we store nuts and bolts and screws and washers and pennies, everything possible, and ammo in these ammo cans. We have, we've attached them to our tractors, and we put all kinds of things, two-way radios in them, everything we need for the trip, out to the fields. We're going to spend the whole day there. So they go in the ammo cans where they're protected. That's what we do. So just a thought. Now, getting back to taxes. So, what percentage does the IRS say of us need help in preparing our tax returns? 90%. 9 out of 10 people need help. Why? Because it is incredibly complex. So 9 out of 10 people need help. Now, of that 90%...
Now, that's on purpose, isn't it? That's not by accident, right?
Oh, no. The IRS code is, tax code is thousands of pages. And it's subject to interpretation. And
that's why I say, right? Why don't they change it to the taxing code? Because the taxes are common sense, our imagination, and our ability to calculate.
Well, it could not have the thousands of loopholes for those who understand the loopholes if it were simple. So it's intentionally complex. Now, TurboTax is owned by Intuit. Intuit is a company that lobbies the federal government to keep the tax structure complicated. Why? Because 34% of those who pay taxes use tax preparation software. 34%. Not necessarily Intuit's, but Intuit is one of the big players. And how much does that cost? Well, Intuit TurboTax is $59 for deluxe, or $59.99. They've got a self-employed version, $119.99. And a business version for $169.99. That's every year. Every year, because you need a new version when the tax code changes. Every year. What a racket, right? So you have disposable software. Use it once, and it's no good next year. By design. So,
yeah.
I recommend that you download Publication 17. Just go to any search engine you want. Type in...
Yeah, that question's come up before. Yeah, in fact, I had a couple of people email me wanting to know about that. If they look at Publication 17, the first thing is, even before you go to a tax person, you want to know what your deductions you can do. My wife does that. She pre-prepares the taxes before a tax person gets their documents, because she's already written off all her deductions before it even gets, quote, finalized, and I'm actually putting them in the columns on the form. Because even when you do a business like ours, which is selling supplements and technology, there's a lot to it. I mean, it takes her a month or more just to put all the darn documents together in the columns.
Well, she's pretty good if she does it in only a month. It takes me like 3 months.
She's preparing a bit every month. So she collects it in the final month before taxes start.
Yeah. We do the same thing, but we look at it, tweak it, until we're satisfied that we got everything on our side of the ledger that is justifiable. Everything that is bona fide, legitimate, as a deduction, we take it. And we wait till the last minute, because we may have made a mistake in their favor, and we certainly don't want to do that. So we just wait until the last minute, and then it's like, well, we don't have any choice. You know, it's the last minute of the last hour of the last day, April 15th, so they're waiting for it, so I guess we'll send it to them. And that's what we do, and we write in the margins. We write on the tax return. And if we don't have the form that we think they're asking for, we figure out what it is, and we write the form number that they assign to a form on a lined piece of paper or a blank piece of paper, and that's the form. Now, 56% of the people who pay taxes hire somebody to help them. 34% use tax preparation software. Add that up, you come up with 90%. There's no regulation that I'm aware of for tax preparers. You just decide you want to become a tax preparer. And the IRS wants you to be careful. But there's no regulation. You just register with them and you become a tax preparer. So the person that you hire may or may not be really good at preparing taxes. And what I'm saying is, I don't think anybody's better than the person who's preparing his own taxes at preparing that person's taxes. Why? Because no one is more interested, let me say it this way, no one's more interested in my money than I am.
So, you're funny.
It's true.
And, if you read these documents, you realize it's not rocket science. It's actually pretty straightforward. And although the tax code looks really scary, even if you're having a tax person actually put it in the final columns, you need to make sure you know what the deductions are, because that's the real key of this. The whole process is to get all the deductions you want. And also, you don't have to actually be an LLC. You can operate as a business. I found out my son, who's involved with writing for Rotor Grinder and doing other things, he realized when he had the tax person prepare his taxes, he paid more taxes than he should have. Now he's going to actually make sure he does all his deductions. And if he needs to, he'll get a tax person to do the final steps. But he's going to get all his deductions first and operate as a business without even being registered as an LLC or whatever.
Yeah, if you want to figure out how to start a business, you say, I'm a business. That's it.
You said that now before, and I told that to my son. I said, he said, you know, that's good advice. You're a business. You just say the words, and magically, presto, little pixie dust, tax dust, and away you go. You're a business.
Absolutely.
So, Vince, especially because tax day is coming up here real soon, people need to realize the government basically illegitimately taxes. I want to put some history here to it. That the tax was originally invented to actually pay off the war debt of World War One. And by the way, since before the 1920s, it wasn't even property tax. This is all invented by a government. And unfortunately, because the government has a bottom end, they basically say, we're never going to reduce the amount of expenditures. That's why every year they always increase it, even if it's driving us into more and more massive national debt. You saw it with the demon rats, I call the Democrats, and the rhino Republicans, passing this omnibus bill. This is insanity. If you ran a business like this, you'd run it into the ground, wouldn't you? And that's what they're doing. They're running the business of our America into the ground on purpose, aren't they?
Yes. And, you know, there's an old saying, those that can do, those that can't teach, and so there's so many people who teach things that really don't know how to do them, and then if you don't know how, and if you can't be a teacher, you can always be a government employee, and a lot of teachers are government employees. I have in front of me a county tax assessment, and it's this computer printed thing. It's got a barcode, and it tells me that avoid penalty. This form must be returned by March 1st, you know, that kind of thing. And they want to know things like the cars. How many cars do you have? And they want to know if there are any changes. Did you add any changes to it? How many calves do you have? How many of them are 6 months to 12 months old? How many of them are 1 to 2 years old? How many are 2 years old or over? How many are registered? How many hogs, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, guineas, ducks, turkeys? How many bee colonies, how many exotic animals, okay? That's just one little section.
Yeah, that's funny.
And, well, it's true. And then and they want to know the automobiles you have, the year they make, the model, how many two-door, four doors, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, how many pickups you have, the make, the model, the cab style, you know, two-door, four-door, four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, how many tons, how many motorcycles make, model, cylinder, number, CCs, and then how many RVs you have, and then camping trailers, and then other things like stock trailers and flatbed trailers, and on, that's just page one, okay? And it goes on. They want more information. At the bottom, it says, I do solemnly swear or affirm that the foregoing list contains a true and correct statement of all tangible personal property made taxable by the laws of the state of Missouri, which I owned or which I had under my charge or management on the first day of January. I further solemnly swear or affirm that I have not sent or taken or caused to be sent or taken any property out of the state to avoid taxation. So help me God. And they want you to date it and sign it.
Right.
Well, here's what I've done. Sometimes I cross that out because I am not going to, I don't know. I really don't know the exact number of all those animals. I honestly do not know. So what I do is I put a number down, and I say, this is an estimate. The actual number is unknown. I write that right on the form. So if they say to me, hey, you know, we've got satellite information, and there are two more cows, see them right over there on the tree line?
What a funny guy you are.
Well, I'm going to say,
They got a satellite. I don't think they have the time to actually look at a satellite photo. That's the good thing about not only the Obama administration didn't have enough tax people to enforce the health care law until it got wiped out, But even under Trump, there's not enough tax people to do all the bad things. Look, nobody's been charged or gone to jail for going after conservatives with the IRS. Remember that? Remember that deal? I don't see anybody wearing orange jumpsuits that did bad things to the IRS. Remember, what was her name, Lois Lerner? She's not learned anything.
Well, what I'm saying is this. They are asking me to attest to something that I really don't know.
Well, you don't know, and why should you say it's an absolute when you don't know it's absolute? You can say, right. Yeah, I'm being as right. honest as I can, considering partial knowledge and estimate.
Yeah,
I don't think they're not going to call you in the matter that are they? Because you're trying to be honest.
I don't know. If they do, it'll be fine with me. I'll say, wow, that's really cool. Can I have a copy of that satellite image? Because I'd like to put that in my phone.
Satellite image, that's funny.
Well,
yeah. Oh, they got two more cows. Oh, my God. They had birth up there.
Wow, it's great. I'm wealthier than I thought. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. You know, the point of this whole discussion about what I read, I solemnly swear, if I don't agree to it, I don't agree to it. I cross it off, initial that I don't agree to it. Okay? So I'll draw a line and X through it, and I'll say, you know, VF. VF says, I'm not doing that. So if I see a contract and it says, you know, I agree to pay 1.5% per month interest plus attorney's costs and court costs and da-da-da-da if, you know, something happens and I get sued or hauled into court, they want me to agree to pay that on the original agreement. I cross that part off. I go, no, I'm not doing that. I am not going to agree for you to charge me 18% a year just because you think – you want to. I don't agree to it. If you want to sue me, go ahead. I don't intend to not pay my bills. I plan on paying my bills. But I don't know. Something could happen. I've never not paid my bills, but something could happen. I'm not going to give you carte blanche authority to rake me over the coals. No. If you want my business, I'm not signing that part. So I will cross that off, put next to it. I'll do it right in front of them. And you know what? No one has ever said to me, Mr. Finelli, you just cross that out of the contract. You have to leave that there. No one has ever said that. They go, okay, that's fine. What I'm saying is, just because something says standard contract, standard agreement, standard whatever, you don't necessarily have to agree to it. Now, if I agree to it, I agree to it, and I'll sign it. But if I don't agree to it, I don't sign it. Or I cross it off, and I agree to the other parts by signing it. And the point is, you can do the same thing, class. You can. So that's what I do. I just refuse to be raked over the coals. So the bottom line is, you need to start.
And they have to
business.
Put a lot of effort. They put a lot of effort out. So as long as you document everything, like that, that publication 17, and you actually document to the hilt, they're unlikely to be wanting to spend the extra sweat equity to be able to come after you, because if they see signs that you're sloppy. Then they know they're going to get you with a lot of very minimal effort. But if they have to put maximal effort out, they're not going to do it, are they?
No, because they're lazy, but generally. Now, let me just use my studio as an example. I'm going to be careful how I say these things. But so I'm in one area of the farmhouse right now, and I have a full-fledged studio just like you do. I've got computers and keyboards and a mixer and a microphone and spare parts. And so I have all this stuff. Well, I thought I'd rather be in another part of the house. With different windows facing south instead of having my back to the south. So I'm going to move all this equipment. And now, in order to do this, I modified the room. It was a dining room. I modified the dining room. I modified some moldings that I bought with a router and a table saw, and so I can use that as picture rail. And I'm going to hang some artwork in there, some paintings from the 1800s. And it's going to be kind of like an antique room, if you will. Got a lot of antiques here at our house. We don't have anything new. Well, in order to do this, I had to buy some paint, had to buy some spackle, had to buy some tools, all of which are a deduction. Why? Because it's for the business. It's for the business. Now, it'd be nice to have these tools anyway, and if I didn't have a business, I'd have to pay for them with after-tax dollars. But because I have a business, and because I bought them for the business, I'm going to deduct them. So, what's a deduction? If I decide to put a new lamp on my desk, that's a deduction. If I decide to buy an old lamp, that's a deduction. If I want to put an oriental rug in there, that's a deduction. New, used, whatever. It's a deduction. The paint, all the paint, I'm talking about the trim paint as well as the wall paint, as well as the spackle, the tape.
Or, and if you can't do it yourself, you can hire somebody to do it. You can also use that as a deduction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I'm saying is a home-based business is where you should be.
Yeah, and you don't have to declare it as an LLC or whatever. You just act as a business and record as a business. See, all they want is documentation. Mm-hmm. If you can document, you are. How's that?
Yeah, yeah. And in my case, I don't have a license, and I'm not going to get one. And I'm not going to get one unless they absolutely threaten me and with a gun to my head. I don't need a license where I live.
Well, you know what I call a license? I call it a government choke chain on your neck.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent advice. Tax day is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
Amazing, amazing. Tomorrow we have the firing line with Michelle. The big sale is on. The Passover sales continue until the 11th. Harley Schlanger is back from Berlin. Gary Richard Arnold with more on the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Vision 2050. Not a good vision, by the way. And we do appreciate your support and prayers. We're here for you. If you have questions, drop me an email. Get your nutraceuticals now. Stay well. Live long and prosper. And get prepped up now and hear the advice from Vince Finelli.
Vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.